did a beautiful job with that. Kind of threw a lot at Paige this week with a new song in addition to the other things that we've got going on. Let's pray again. Father, we ask the moving of your Spirit. Your truth. Your boldness. Your love. May you alone speak. In Jesus' name. Amen. What you are going through right now, whatever it is, even though it is difficult, it could turn. God could turn it some way. And it could end up a deep blessing in your life and in the lives of others. I know that's a lot to say. And please know I don't say it without regard to the heartbreak that can dog our days and lay waste to what little faith we have. You may be in a place right now where it's difficult to hear those words. And I wouldn't blame you for pushing back, not one bit. Still, I want to say it. Humbly, faithfully, out of reliance on the witness of God's word and experience of his faithfulness personally, I can honestly tell you that as I look at the most difficult circumstances of my life, in each one, I can see where God used them to bring about good that could not have happened any other way. Later this week, Carrie and I will be flying out with Jeff to Los Angeles, where we will be speaking to a group of parents of prodigals. And we will be pointing them to the hope that only Jesus gives. And we would not be able to do that with any credibility if we had not been through years of painful experience. Some of you were there. Some of you know. And although there are still stories, trust me, that we don't share, it goes deep. And if we hadn't been through so many sleepless nights, so many long days sitting in the courtroom praying for the judge to have mercy, weeks of rehab and counseling where your hope is raised only to land a little while later with a dull thud. If we haven't buried friends or family members and had to visit our own children in the mental hospital or in jail. If we hadn't been through that, we really would have very little to say to others who are going through it now. But God has this way of taking these things, these dreams that dissolve in our hands and reworking them and bringing good that we never expected. And I am aware that many of you can attest to this because some of you have been through far more than we have. But you can understand when I say that if you had told Carrie and me at the time that we were going through this, that God would be using us to encourage the parents of prodigals around the world, and that is not an exaggeration, it would have been very hard for us to believe it. So this morning, if you've been in that place where you ask, how can any good at all come from this? I'd love to encourage you this morning and to point you afresh to the hope that only our resurrected Savior gives. Because He has hope for you and me as we wait with Him, even light out of darkness. There are so many examples of this in Scripture. Think of what Joseph told his brothers after they sold him into slavery. You meant evil against me. God meant it for good. Or think of Paul's source of physical pain, what he called a thorn in the flesh that helped him to discover God's strength in his weakness. Think about what is said about Jesus in his birth. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. And here's another example. This one is our scripture this morning. It's from Peter's life. Peter the rock, who was also the cowardly denier. And this telling thing that Jesus has to say about his circumstances. Now, the setting is the Last Supper. It's their last moments of real peace together. Dinner is over. They're about to go out to the Mount of Olives where Jesus will be betrayed, just as he predicted. And he turns to Peter, also called Simon, and says, here it is, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you, all the disciples, as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. The way Jesus uses Peter's name three times, do you see it? Simon, Simon. But I've prayed for you, Simon. That shows his affection for him. And by the way, it's right after this that Peter says, I'll die for you, Lord. And Jesus says, you'll deny me. Let's break this down for a moment. Peter's the disciples' natural leader. Jesus is in this moment telling him about what is going to be the most painful and difficult failure of his life. And in spite of all this, at the very same time, Jesus shows his faithfulness to him. First by praying for him. And then by talking about his future, looking ahead and saying, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. How could Peter strengthen the disciples after he had been, let's face it and call it what it is, such an abysmal failure? Think about it. This is the moment in which Jesus needs him most. This is the moment where if he needs to lead, oh, it is then. Please pay careful attention. Peter made the decision to deny Jesus out of his own free will. But it is precisely because he had failed so miserably that he's able to strengthen them when they have their doubts and when they feel like turning away. God uses even Peter's worst failure. And it's then that Peter can go to them humbly and say, I understand. It's then when the church, years later, is going through persecution and they're tempted to deny Christ. When people are facing the very same circumstances that Peter was. And Peter learned from this. Peter himself was martyred later. And oh, please, no, I think of what he went through. Would I do any differently? I don't think so. But it's then that Peter can go to them humbly when his brothers are going through this and say, I really understand, but trust me, don't go there. Don't go there. You don't want to deny him. It is not worth it. And they will listen to him because they know. They know. Because he has been through it. And he has come out the other side, and they will all be stronger for it. Let's move straight to application, if we may. Where's the greatest challenge in your life right now? It may be a place that makes you question why God could allow it, or even if he is there at all. It may be something entirely beyond your control. Or it may be something from the past that you haven't worked through. It may be a place where you've messed up, like Peter. In spite of all of that, God can use it as you walk through it and beyond it with him. Romans 8:28 reminds us, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All things. God can take even those things that the devil calculates to break our hearts and decimate our souls. Remember what Jesus told Peter, Satan is asked to sift all of you as wheat. But, that little word, but I have prayed for you. And what Jesus does to prevent Simon's destruction is applicable to all of us. Beyond Romans 8:28, in all things we know God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Read down just 6 verses. And it says, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Jesus prays for us, just as he did for Peter. And John tells us that even if we mess up and we can blame it on no one but ourselves, Jesus is still faithful. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin, but if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, someone who speaks on our behalf, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So we can run to him. Notice again what Jesus tells Peter, Simon, Simon, when you have turned back. And that's the same phrase used in Acts 3:19 when Peter tells a crowd bravely in Jerusalem, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Whether we've sinned or not, whether others have sinned against us, when we humble ourselves before God, when we turn to him in our hearts and bend our wills to him, whether to turn from our sin or to forgive others, he refreshes us. And he uses us to refresh others. all the plans he has for you in this, only he knows. And only he can work out. And only you can discover them as you walk through them closely with him. And as you talk about them with him, Lord, what about this? Go to him with that. He will show up. Wentley Phipps is a black pastor with a beautiful bass voice. He has sung before 6 presidents. And one day his aunt was visiting his home and looking at pictures on the wall that showed his storied career, and she grew very thoughtful. And she said, I want to tell you something very important. And she started to tell him about his Aunt Pearl, who was a beautiful singer who died trying to get rid of an unwanted pregnancy before he was born. And then she said, when your mother became pregnant with you outside of wedlock, there were those urging her to get rid of that baby. But we sisters rallied due to grief over Pearl. We said, we're not going through this again. And then she told about how his mother's mother made a trip from the southern part of Trinidad to the northern part to visit his father's mother. And together, these two grandmothers made a pact. They would pray. She said their prayer was simply, Lord, make this child's life a blessing to the world. And then she added, after you were born, I watched our mother continue to pray over your baby bassinet by candlelight. Make this child's life a blessing. And Phipps recalls, I was born into a troubled situation. My parents' intimacy before their marriage was not endorsed by God. My parents had such a rough go. And then he adds, it is in the quiet crucible of our personal private sufferings that our noblest dreams are born and God's greatest gifts are given. And often God gives his greatest gifts in compensation for what we have endured and what we have been through. I can look back and see how God was guiding me into his plans for me. And God has used him in remarkable and beautiful ways. And he sums it up this way. God helped me before I was born. My Aunt Pearl died. I was able to live. I am the result of, and what anyone has seen in my life is, God's answer to 2 grandmothers' prayer. Wherever you may be right now, good or bad or in between, you may still be blessed. Because our God never gives up on us, and he is faithful. Jesus prays for us, and we must pray for each other. And as we do, we will see the good that comes of it, though we don't know how he does it. Good we cannot see now. But God will bring us out into breathtaking places of beauty as we take him by the hand. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Remember? And so we can go to him and tell him we trust him and tell him we love him. There's a prayer in Scripture that says, Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Not on the past, but on him in the present, who in all things is able to bring about good for those who love him and are called by him. And oh, it's okay to say, Lord, I don't get this. I don't get this. But I'm yours in it. And I commit myself afresh to be yours right now. And I'm going to dare. I'm going to dare to praise you by faith for what you will do. I'm going to dare to believe that you are faithful, even though I cannot see the way. I may not know that, but I know you. And you are more than enough. May we pray. Whatever that place may be, Lord, thank you for this conversation with Peter that we have record of. An eyewitness account. When you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. Lord, you know how we struggle. You know how weak we are, how much we need you. You know how easily our faith can be jarred and our witness is turned. But your word says that if we are faithless, you will remain faithful because you cannot disown yourself. And so, Holy Spirit, at work within us, we want to affirm again right now, we are yours. We are yours. And this circumstance that we never would have chosen, that we never would have wanted, we never would have gone through, we are going to, as an act of worship right now, affirm to you. We know that you're faithful even in this. And we ask, Father, because we see how prayer is at work in all of this, we ask, Lord, would you use it? Would you use it for your glory? We want to be a part of that. We want to be yours in this. We recognize your purposes are always larger than our own. Lord, we just want to be yours. And yet we can't do even that unless you help us. And so we pray, Spirit, oh, fill us. Help us to praise you. Help us to look forward with faith. Because in the end, you are the beginning. And our lives are caught up in you for all eternity. And one day all of this will be past and we will praise you. And sometimes that's even here on this earth. So we affirm you're faithful. And we rest in you, our beautiful Savior, who went to death and rose and conquered it. You are the Alpha and the Omega. And we are safe in your hands. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.